What can you negotiate when buying a home? Find out all the what's. Some might surprise you. And more this week on Indy's Real Estate Gurus.
Branch NMLS number 33041. Rick Ritmus NMLS number 664589. Ian Arnold NMLS number is 1995469. Equal housing opportunity. Some restrictions apply.
Welcome to Indy's Real Estate Gurus, brought to you by Advisors Mortgage Group and Fix It Mortgage. Our branch NMLS is 33041. Now, here's your host, the hard-working mortgage guy, Rick Rickma.
Good afternoon. I'm Rick Rittma, your hardworking mortgage guy.
And I'm Ian Arnold of Advisors Mortgage Group. And reminder, you can actually get any of our podcasts or any of our past shows off of Indy's Real Estate Gurus. And also
.com.
No. You don't have to look at .com.
You can go to Indy. Oh, yeah. Indy's Real Estate. Yeah, I'm sorry. You're right.
This is the difference between new guys into technology and old guys. Goodness. But then our website, though, that has a .com.
That's hardworkingmortgageguys.com. See, that's what happens. I'm going back to bed.
All right. So let's get into what we like to call Rick's perspective. So, Rick, I know you were looking at some numbers earlier this week. And what really caught your eye?
Well, you know, I'm always looking at numbers. And I just find it very interesting. There were several things that I thought were very interesting. Number one, you know, we hear a lot on the radio or people talking, and they're saying that houses aren't a good investment. You shouldn't buy, you know, they're telling you you should rent, not buy. Most of these people are actually renters. One of the guys, I can't remember his name. You were talking about him. He actually...
Oh, Grant Cardone. He actually was in the car business, and then he started getting into real estate once he got so much money. But yeah, I know what you're talking about because I heard him. And he goes, oh, well, you shouldn't buy a house. It's not a good investment. I'm like, what are you talking about? You actually buy homes.
Yeah.
And he turns around and rents them and sells them, or it's all about real estate. And let's be honest, the vast majority of millionaires/billionaires, they're into real estate.
That's right. And that's exactly what I wanted to talk about and why. The net worth tiers. So in the top 1% of all the people in the U.S., to be in the top 1%, you have to have $10.8 million in net worth. Now, the net worth could be in equity in your homes. It could be in, you know, investments, but your net worth. The top 2% is $2.5 million. That's what it takes to get in the top 2%. Top 5%, $1 million. Top 10%, $800,000. Top 50% is $500,000. All right. And that sounds like, all of that sounds like a lot. On average, 2/3 of the net worth comes from home equity.
And that is a huge amount.
Two-thirds.
Yep. You don't realize how much, I mean, we've talked about it, but you have to think about if you had a $200,000 house 2 years ago and the way the equity has gone up, you increase roughly 38%. So you almost increased $40,000 in 2 years in a $200,000 home here in Indiana. That's incredible. Now, imagine that over a lifespan. I mean, that's where they're talking about you get that equity in your house.
Right. And you know what? This just popped in my head. But if you think about it, everybody's all upset because interest rates have gone up, right?
Yeah.
They were at historic lows. And they've come up, and they're still below the average.
Easily, yes.
Yeah, several points below the average. They're below the average. And yet, because of that, there's a lot of experts running around, a lot of people buying into it. Oh, don't buy a house, don't buy a house, don't buy a house. The equity increase in a house is not dependent on the interest rate that you pay.
Here's the thing. Interest rate can always change for you. Okay, all you have to do is refinance. So let's say the average today is 6%, and I'm just putting out numbers right now. So let's say you got 6%. In 3 years from now, interest rates drop, and now we're down to 3%. Guess what? Refinance.
Right, and you may refinance on the way down a couple times, because no, yep. The one thing you never know is where the low is or where the high is. That's what you never know. Here's what I've noticed at almost 30 years in the business. When rates are going up, when you hit the highest rate that you're going to get, many people lock at that rate because they're scared rates are going to continue to go up. When rates are going down, very few people lock at the low because everybody thinks they're going to continue to go down. Yeah. Do you think it's going to go down another eighth? We're at the lowest. This is when we're at the lowest rates we had ever had in the history of mankind, as far as I know.
Yeah.
And do you think it's going to go down? Well, yeah, it might. But what's the risk factor at that
Correct.
Point?
Yeah, the way I look at it, you should never judge a house on buying a house based off just interest rate alone. I mean, it's
a piece of the puzzle.
It's a very small piece of the puzzle. And it doesn't really matter to a point.
It matters.
But what I'm just saying is, like we just said, you can always, if it's a higher rate, later on you can refinance.
Yes.
So that's a...
It matters in affordability.
Yes.
And I agree with you. It's something that you have to consider, but I wouldn't say in this market right now, if you need to buy a home, I'm going to wait.
Yeah. Yeah. So let me redo this. So if you're looking at a scale 1 to 10, and 10 being your most, you had to have it like price-wise. When I'm looking at rate, it's down to like 8 or 9. It shouldn't be a big determining factor. Now, the price of the home should be the biggest because that's what's really going to affect your payments. That's the most is how much you finance. Then, all right, what are you looking for? You're looking for a 3-bedroom, 4-bedroom. That's going to be a higher priority than, I think, interest rates. So I would, interest rate, I'd look very low too.
Yeah, everybody has different numbers. The problem for you and I is we are numbers guys. So we tend to put numbers first.
Yes.
You know, and there may be other people who think it's different, but that's why we do what we do. We're numbers guys. We understand numbers. We understand all that. I agree with you because somebody who's waiting right now, if they wait 2 years and they're expecting, homes to continue to appreciate it at 5 to 12% over the next couple of years, if they just appreciate the 5% each year, even if rates go down, your payment's going to be the same or higher. You might as well take advantage of getting that equity.
Correct.
And less money down and everything else. So that I agree. It all matters. You just have to work through it and look at the entire puzzle, the entire picture, so you're doing the right thing. You know, the other part of this, one of the things that we're seeing is, I thought I'd want to go over, is a new home sales, signed contracts for July of 2022. And the sales have slowed down on new homes, which everybody knew. I mean, with interest rates going up, homes are going to slow down a little bit. We expected this. This is not unusual, but it slowed down from unbelievable highs.
Yes.
You know, it's not like, we were already, dead in the water and it's slowed down from there. It's we were booming at the highest levels ever.
I mean, I'm a sports guy. If I'm shooting in basketball 90% for 3 weeks straight, and then I drop down to 70%, guess what? You're going to see the reaction, and they're like, oh, you're not hitting as much. You're still shooting 70%. Yeah. 7 out of 10 shots are going in.
Right. Yeah, that's still big. But the for sale total inventory was 464,000 homes. And then we had annual sale, and this is over that month, okay? This is just for July. But the annual sales pace was 511,000. That's down 13 month over month and 30% year over year. So the sales price went down. But again, they'll report that as a real huge negative, right? Mm-hmm. They'll report that as your annual sales, the dollar amount went down, or the sales pace went down, and that's really bad. But you know what? This happens every year. We hit we see a peak in things, and then we see it come down. And this is just the normal way that this moves. The for sale monthly sales pace was 10.9 months. That's what was the pace of new home sales. It completed, there were 45,000 homes completed in the U.S. and new home sales. There were monthly sales pace was 42,600. in the completed monthly sales pace. So there's 1.06 supply of homes, monthly supply of homes. And then the median home price actually went up. The median home price went to $439,400. That's up 5.9 month over month or 8.2 year over year. Again, that doesn't mean the values went up, but we have seen the materials and everything go up, so prices have gone up on new homes.
Yeah, and keep also in mind, that is nationwide. That's not just Indiana.
Right, that's nationwide. And it's you know, those numbers are showing a little bit of slowing pace, but not a huge slowing pace. The pending home sales are slowing, again, part of the normal market. But it's not, it's still phenomenal because we came from such a, we're looking at it and comparing it to such a high level.
Correct.
And, you know, with that, as everything slows, we've talked about what we feel is going to happen. We still feel, I do anyway, that rates are going to go down over time. But you have to understand, rates do not go straight up and they do not go straight down. So we hit our high in June. Rates came down through July. They were down in the early part of August. They bumped up a little bit. We're not where we were in June, but we did bump up a little bit. Yep. That's normal.
Yes. I mean, you're never going to see a drastic...
Doesn't work that way.
No. And then it's... I mean, just look at gas prices. They can shoot up, but then what happens when they start to lower? What happens? They'll go from 450 to 440 to 430, up, back up to 440, and then it's the same thing. They'll keep coming down, but it'll be a slow trickle. It'll go up a tick or two, and then it'll come right back down. Same thing with rates.
Absolutely, it is. And, you know, we're actually coming up on break, so I think we'll just go to break, and when we get back, we will go over the four items that are always negotiable when buying a house. Or are they?
You're listening to Indy's Real Estate Gurus, brought to you by Advisors Mortgage Group and Fix It Mortgage. Now back to your host, the hard-working mortgage guy, Rick Rickma.
Welcome back. Thanks for joining us. I hope you're having a great weekend. I'm Rick Rittma, your hardworking mortgage guy.
And I'm Ian Arnold with Advisors Mortgage Group. And if you did miss our first 15 minutes, again, check out our podcast, Indy's Real Estate Gurus.
Yep. Or you can also go online to our website if you need to contact us. If you have any questions about mortgages, just want to talk, you know, Ian gets bored, so you might just want to give him a call. But you can do that all online at hardworkingmortgageguys.com, hardworkingmortgageguys.com. You can fill out the contact information on that website. It's on the upper right side. Or you can get all our contact information from there on the bottom, and you can give us a call. So you please go there if you have anything or need anything with us. And now we're going to the question of the week with Ian Arnold.
Now it's time for Questions with the Gurus.
The question of the week this week is brought to you by refinance. And what does refinance mean for you? If you are looking to lower your interest rate or even lower your payment, now is the time to refinance. So give Rick or I a call, and we'll definitely help you set up a plan and everything to help you with your refinance.
Yeah, and you know, even if it's not the right time for them to refinance, if they get with us, we can put them in our Rate Watch program, watch the rates for them. When they get to a point it makes sense, we can definitely refinance at that
yep,
point.
Yep, make it nice and easy for you.
Yep.
Let us do the work. All right, so last week's question was, what kind of running leads to walking? Luckily, this has never happened to me. I'm going to knock on wood right now. Running out of gas.
It's happened to me.
Yeah, has it?
Yeah, that, you know, our cars weren't like they are today.
Yeah, I mean, you had Fred Flintstone it.
Yeah, but then you didn't run out of gas.
Just energy.
I always thought it funny on Fred Flintstone. You know, they couldn't go. He couldn't go do something because they didn't have a car. Well, you sit in your car and you push it with your legs that you can walk.
All right. So this week's question is, what rock group consists of four famous men, but none of them sing?
Ah, that's a good one.
Yeah. So let's get into what we're the whole thing this week is, what are some items that you can or cannot negotiate when looking for a house? So we get this quite a bit, and some people try to, which is funny, try to educate us on, oh no, I can haggle on that. Well, no, you really cannot. I mean, but the main thing that everybody knows you can haggle on, maybe not in this type of market, but normally, is the house price.
Right. And you know, it's interesting. First off, part of the reason I wanted to go over this, and when you and I talked about it, I thought it was a good idea, is some big news organization, I think it was Realtor.com, or it may have been one of those, put this information out there. And quite honestly, some of it was just flat out wrong.
Yes.
So that's why I wanted to go over it. I wanted to set some of this stuff straight because it was just incorrect. But the price of a home is definitely negotiable. Now, it's weird because there was the market up until about 2 years ago, maybe not quite that long ago, the way that it worked is, for most homes, not all homes, you priced your home. The price of your home was the starting price, and everybody bid less than that.
Yep.
So you said, I want to sell my home for $400,000. And Ian and I, Ian and his wife would go in, and my wife and I'd go in, and Ian would say, you know what, I'm willing to pay $395 for your house. And I might come in and say, I'm only willing to pay $390. So they'd sell it to Ian rather than me because he was willing to pay $390, right?
Correct.
Or they might want, you know, the best offer, you know, last best offer, whatever they call that. So that would be one way to do it. And the house, I think most people know that the house price is negotiable. Today, not on all homes, I think it was 53% of the homes in Indiana, maybe have been a little bit more than that over the last month, but it was much higher than that one time. Because we receive so many offers on homes, and there's still, I still see our market better than a lot of markets, where we're still getting a lot of traffic, we're still getting multiple offers, and quite a few of them are selling for more than list price. So today, the market is, I list it for $400,000 and see how much higher it goes.
Yeah. I mean, it's the opposite of, I like the analogy of when you go buy a car. I mean, buying a car, the old time was you go in, you haggle, you come down. Nobody really pays higher than sticker on a, but on homes, this right in the last few years, it's been, all right, how much are you going over the asking price?
Right. What's going on in cars too?
Yeah.
I'm
somewhat.
I'm very into cars. As you are, you understand cars. You came out of the business. I'm really into cars, and I watch, even though I'm not in the market, I watch them all the time. You take certain cars, you take a Ford Bronco, mm-hmm. you take a Corvette, some of the other cars out there, probably the new electric Hummer, maybe even some of the new electric Fields, probably, I don't know this for a fact, but probably the Teslas, things like that. They do sell for more than list price.
Yeah. I mean, there is a market. I mean, it's not as much as like the way the houses are going, but it is still shocking that now some of the, especially new cars, are going for over sticker.
It is absolutely amazing. I had a customer who bought a car. He said, I only bought it because I guess he had the employee discount, family employee discount. He said, I'm going to drive it for 6 months and the dealership's going to pay me X amount of dollars, like $50,000 more than I paid for it, or $20,000, some ridiculous yep. amount of money. That's unbelievable.
Yeah. It's crazy. But all right, so get back on the whole homes. No,
I
you
like
and
cars.
I can talk about cars all the time. That's why our special episode next week is how to buy a car in today's market. And that's, I mean, when you got two car people, we'll talk to you about it all day. But what about earnest money deposit?
Well, your earnest money deposit is, first of all, almost everything on a house you can negotiate most things on a house. Some things are much more valuable to negotiate than other. Earnest money is another one you can negotiate. Again, in a normal market where there aren't, you know, four or five offers coming through, the earnest money, when we negotiate, you know, you can negotiate it down. You don't have to put, you know, earnest money is not your down payment. Earnest money is part of your down payment. You put it early to show the people that you want to buy their house, and also in Indiana, and I think everywhere, without any exchange of value, money, with the offer isn't valid. So they could sell it out from underneath you if you didn't give them anything. But a dollar is all you have to really give. But most people won't take that. They want enough that it makes them feel secure. But you can negotiate that. It's all in what you put in your offer. You can say, I'll put 5% earnest money up. I'll put $500. I'll put $1,000. It just depends on what you're comfortable with. That's one of those things that you really work out with your real estate agent.
Correct.
They're the people who know, they understand the market, they know what you're going to need to do to get what you want.
Okay. So this is on the article that you and I both read. And it's not just in the article. We've had customers actually call us and talk to us about this before. This was the biggest, no, this isn't right, was money back at closing.
Yeah, it's amazing. And I don't even know how they came up with this. What the article says is that, well, I'll read that part of it. Let's say you see a home that you wanted that's $500,000. If you want to put 20% down payment, $100,000, and have 5% for closing costs, which is very high, in our market, $25,000, you'll need $125,000 in cash. If you had $145,000 in your savings account, you'd have $20,000 left over after the closing on the home. But if a buyer wanted even more cash left over for emergencies and living expenses, they could offer to pay $510,000 for the house and then ask for $10,000 back in cash. That is not legal. That is called an inducement to buy, and it is not legal. No mortgage company that I know of allows that. It's not allowed on Freddie Mac, Fannie Mae, Federal Home Loan Bank, FHA, VA, USDA. I don't know of anybody who allows that.
Now, the seller can give you money for, but it has to be, let's say the roof needs to be fixed. They can give you money then, yes, for that, but they can't.
No.
I thought they could.
They can, but not the way you're explaining it.
Okay.
The way they can give it to you is they can give it to you by writing at closing, they take a check out of their proceeds made out to the contractor.
Yes.
Yeah, I just wanted to explain what you were saying.
Good. Yeah. It's just like, so if all I wanted to do is let people know the seller can still give you money for
they're not giving it to you.
Well,
they can't give you money. They can give your contractor money.
Yes, that's what I mean. Yeah. But
we got to be careful.
Yeah.
That's all.
But what I'm just saying is you can't let me overbid and then, now just write me a check. No, that's not happening.
No, they can't write you a check. They can't have it taken out of their proceeds at closing. They can't do any of that. No, it's not. It's called an inducement to buy, and you can't do that. The real estate agent can't do that. The mortgage lender can't do that. Nobody in the process can do that. They can't give you money. There can be some minor, not really on the money, but if you had a family member, who was, they might be able to give, gift you money, but that's about it.
All right. So, get it off that heated topic.
Well, it's one of those things. When I read it, I read it. It's like, what in the world are these people talking about?
I fully agree. Cause then you showed me and I was just like, no, you can't do that.
No.
I breaks every law that when I had to get my license, that would say, you don't pass.
right. It doesn't, it's, and they put that out there. It's my problem with the media many times is people who don't really know. Okay. And this is somebody who you would think would know, because it was a major real estate group.
Mm-hmm.
And it came to my attention because of a real estate attorney told me about it.
Yeah.
Okay. He said, look at this. He couldn't believe it. I couldn't believe it. So, it's amazing, but that's what's out there. So you have to be very cautious on who you listen to. You got to talk to people or listen to people who actually know what they're talking about. And in this case, we know what we're talking about. That is just wrong.
So what about home insurance? And when I say home insurance, I'm talking home insurance if something were to happen to your house, not PMI or anything like that.
Right. Yeah. PMI, we actually shop PMI, but it is what it is. When it comes out, it is what it is. Home insurance, there's a variety of ways. It's not really negotiating in my mind for insurance, but you can shop your homeowner's insurance.
Correct.
But the hard part about shopping insurance is shopping the exact same items, because each insurance company has little different things. So you want to make sure you have a good insurance agent who's going to get you the right deal.
Mm-hmm.
And then it also comes down to what you add to your policy. Like, I know there's movements at times for earthquake insurance.
I don't think we use that very often.
Oh,
here.
back about 20 years or so ago, there was a guy, a supposed expert, who said we were in line to have a earthquake in Indiana, and they sold a whole bunch of earthquake insurance.
Whoa. We do have earthquake. I felt one last year. I mean, it didn't do anything, but there was still an earthquake.
He was saying major earthquake, and it was going to, and of course that would be a disaster, but it so far has not happened. All right. So that's one area. It's not really negotiating, but it's picking out what you want in your insurance. Now, you have to meet what we require as a lender, what lenders require. When I say us, I'm really talking, it's one thing people get confused about. It's not us. It's Freddie Mac, Fannie Mae, Federal Loan Bank, FHA, VA. So you can negotiate what you add in your insurance. That's what you can negotiate. You can also shop your insurance.
Yep. All right. So now, what about mortgage rate? Can you actually haggle on a mortgage rate and closing costs?
Not really. There might be a time if you have, you know, where there's something that can be done, but for the most part, we get our rates. That's what they are. Now, what you can do is say, well, maybe if I pay a little bit, what they call points, it doesn't have to be a full point. Sometimes for an eighth of a point, you can get a quarter or an eighth less in rate. Sometimes it might cost a little more, and that might be worth it. We always go over that to make sure they know, but it adds a little bit of cost, but it might be worth it over the long run. But that's something we should talk about.
Yep. And then closing costs. I mean, basically, we basically have to charge what every person the same. So the only things that can sometimes change is if you go to a different title company.
Yeah, title company fees are closing costs, and they're not something we control at all.
Correct.
Appraisal's another one. We don't really control it. The appraiser controls that. So, yeah. So, and that is the end of the show.
Wow, that went fast.
I can't believe it. But thank you so much for joining us. Again, if you would like to contact us, it's hardworkingmortgageguys.com. That's hardworkingmortgageguys.com. I'm Rick Ripma, your hardworking mortgage guy.
And I'm Ian Arnold with Advisors Mortgage Group. And reminder, next week is our special of how do you buy a car in today's market.
I can't wait. Thanks for joining us. Have a great day.